Join with me as we pray this morning. Father, our hearts are filled with great joy this morning, knowing that when we sing a song such as this, we are reminded of who you are, that you are King of Heaven, that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, and he will reign forever. Your word tells us in Exodus chapter 15 that you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. And Lord, as we contemplate and we think about who you are, your majesty and your glory, and we think of the one who sits upon the throne in heaven, we are so reminded of who you are today. And God, I pray that our worship of you is worthy, because you are worthy, O Lord, of the worship that we bring. Your name is the only name in heaven or on earth that is worthy to be lifted up in praise, that is worthy to be lifted up in praise. God, thank you. Thank you that we have a place that we can gather, that we can call a church and be a body of believers and worship you. To gather, to sharpen one another, to hear from your word, and then to be sent out in our community. To serve where we're planted, to serve where we are, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you that we get to be a part of that. Lord, this week I know that it's been a wild week. It's been a week that has had many challenges and many difficulties. It has had many different things that are going on in our lives. And I pray, Father, that we can allow those things to be put on the back burner and focus on what really matters, and that is your name. You being lifted up. Our worship of you. It's not that we ignore those things, but for about an hour, Lord, we want to just worship you and focus in on who you are. And those things that we've been dealing with, those struggles, those issues, those concerns that we might have, those prayer requests, Lord, will you see to them? Where healing is needed, God, will you provide healing? Where hope needs to be restored, Lord, will you do that in us in only the way you can? And so, God, we turn our eyes to you. Meet us today. Meet us tomorrow in our time of prayer or time of devotions, whatever that might be. Meet us throughout this week, God, because you are worthy. We want to seek your face. And so thank you, God, for all that you do, for the way that you work and the way that you are our Lord and our Savior. God, be with us this week, we pray. We pray all these things in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here today. And I'm just thankful that you are here. And I just want to remind you that we have a QR code that you can utilize at any point in time. Should be on the screen behind me. There it is. And just a way for us to get to know you a little bit, you to get to know us. But also, when you utilize the QR code, there is an area that you can ask for prayer of things that you need prayer for, whatever that might look like. look like for you, you will just know that you can be, that you will be lifted up in prayer. And if it's something that we need to share with the church for prayer requests, we'll do that as well. I want to share with you just a few announcements as we get going this morning. First of all, one of the most important things that we do all week long happens on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 a.m., and it is a prayer time. And we would just invite you to be a part of that. The information as far as the Zoom call is on the screen behind me, and you can feel free to participate in that if you would like to. If not, know that there are folks that are praying for you and praying for the church. Today is a fifth Sunday lunch, and so that means a couple of things. Number one, I know that you won't you'll be dealing with a little bit of a stirring belly throughout the rest of the service because maybe you smell the food that's being prepared or whatever it might be. But the truth is that we're going to have lunch. We're going to transform the sanctuary and put out some tables, and we just invite you to stick around. If you arrived today and you said, "Oh, I didn't know that it was fifth Sunday lunch," that's okay. There's always plenty to go around, so stick around anyway. Anyways, enjoy lunch, and maybe you'll have an opportunity to chat with some other folks today that you don't often see, or maybe meet someone new for the very first time. That would be great. Also, just want to remind you that we have been receiving items for our blessing box that is right outside of our church building, right over here by our mailbox, and those items are brought in today. And if you have any other of those items, you can drop them off by the cross, or maybe you forgot them and you're like, I forgot. Bring them in next week. That's fine. We'll always receive them. These items are utilized by our community. It's a way that people that are just in need have a, they show up at the box, and there's a variety of things in there. Toiletry items, food items, just things that are a blessing to them. And there's no questions asked, and it's just a way to serve our community. And I tell you what, we are receiving a variety of things that are going on. Prayer requests that we're praying for, and then also just thank you cards. And so that's really cool, and that's a way for us to be aware of that. And if you have anything that you would like to if questions asked about that, see Rich Bartholomew. He'll raise his hand in the air so that you can chat with him about that. Other things that you need to be aware of is that we are going to be doing a youth local mission trip this summer. You have heard me talk about that for a while. It is a local mission trip. We stay here, we serve our community, and we do a mission trip in our own town of Cedar Rapids and serve the area. And I believe and I know that it's going to be great. And so teenagers, middle school through high school, you are invited to be a part of it, but you need to be acting quickly because technically the deadline to sign up is tomorrow. So if you're still interested, you got to let me know. I'm sure there will be some grace. I'm sure of that because we got plenty of time because it's not happening until July. But need to talk with me as soon as possible, okay? Let's see. Other things that you need to know about is that we are going to be having a youth bake sale that is happening next week. So you can get your sweet tooth fixed next week, everybody. It's an opportunity. 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. I can't count. So it's 2 weeks, okay? What's happening is the teens are going to be baking items, bringing them in 2 weeks, and you can give a free will donation for whatever those items might be, and you can fulfill your sweet tooth desires for that. Teens, we do need your help with items that will be baked and all of that stuff. If we don't have your items, we don't have much of a bake sale. So hint, hint. Moms and dads, help your kids. No bake items are great. Then they don't have to deal with the oven. I don't know. Maybe that works. Or maybe they are fully capable of using the oven. That works too. But that's the idea. Parents, if you have any questions, see Jacob or Andrea Thomas, and they will absolutely help you out. The last thing that I want to talk about today is baptism. It has been our practice to have baptism on Easter Sunday as a way of not just celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, but celebrating what God has done in our lives. And so we're going to be offering baptism. And if you are interested in that, I would love to have a conversation with you. Come and see me. But basically, we believe that a person should be baptized because of their obedience to Christ, and we would walk in his steps as he was baptized. We should be baptized, and we would love it if you haven't been baptized to maybe consider that this year. If not, and you're ready at a different time, come and talk to me. Basically, we want to help you move to the place where you are ready to be baptized and to declare to our community and the world that you are a follower of Jesus. And we would love for you to be a part of that this year. So if you have any questions, make sure you chat with me very soon, because Easter is only a short few weeks away. And also just want to remind you, Easter is a great time to invite friends to come to worship, to come to church. First of all, people are interested in spiritual things. And we really have the best and the only truth when it comes to spiritual things. And so let's maybe consider who we might invite to come with us on Easter Sunday, or even the week after, or a couple weeks later. Just invite people to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of the church. Kids, we're going to dismiss you now for Children's Church. Kids ages 4 to 5th grade, meet your leaders and head on over for Children's Church today. So, how y'all doing? Doing okay today? Good, good. The story goes that a teenager was off the coast of Florida in a deep sea fishing trip with his dad. They had a captain of the boat, and so there were other people around. They were in a trawler. I learned what that word is for the first time as I was hearing that story. But it's the kind of boat that has four seats in the back with fixed rigs, so that if you hooked a big fish, the pole wouldn't be jerked out of your hand as the fish took off. They were out of sight of the land, and it starts to rain. It rained heavier and heavier and heavier. The folks that were on the boat, especially this young man and his dad, they were huddled under the canopy, and the rain just kept pouring, and the floor of the boat was starting to really feel the effects of the amount of rain that was coming in. And the teenager asked the captain, "Is this dangerous? Is it dangerous for us to be out on the ocean when it's raining?" And the captain's response stuck with this young teen for many years. And the captain says, "No, the rain's no problem. It's the wind that's a problem. If there's no wind, there's no big waves. The rain just runs off the side of the boat, no problem. But if there is wind, the waves get bigger and bigger, and there's not enough protection for a small boat against giant waves." I want you to hold on to that story for just a little bit, because I think the story will help us later on in our sermon today. But we're in the fifth week of a series that is titled Signs and Miracles in the Gospel of John. And for the last few weeks, I've given you about a 1.5 recap of what we've been talking, 1.5 sentence recap of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. And I want to go ahead and do that for you, because what we're doing is that we're looking at the various miracles or signs that the Gospel of John talks about in his gospel, and give you the idea of what's going on. So in the first miracle, that is Jesus turning water to wine, that miracle shows that Jesus is the completeness of God, that he is the abundance of God, and that Jesus is all about God's mission. In the second week, we looked at the miracle or the sign of the official's son being healed. And in that one, what we were dealing with is that we can take Jesus at his word. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. And he is not bound by human limitations. The third week, we talked about the man that was healed at the pool. And as Jesus knew the man at the pool, he knows you. He knows everything about you. And his compassion for you is immeasurable. And his power is unlimited to work in your life. And last week, we looked at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is enough. He is more than enough. He is our provision, and nothing is wasted. Not even the simple things. Nothing is wasted. Today, we find ourselves in a continuation of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 because it's found in John chapter 6, about verse 16 is where we pick up. And we have just finished the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus sends the disciples off, and he goes up into the wilderness, up onto the mountainside, and he begins to retreat because the people at the end of the feeding of the 5,000, they were ready to make Jesus king by force. They were ready to make Jesus become the king of Israel and fight back against their Roman intruders and captors, but that's basically what they were dealing with. So verse 16 is where we pick up. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. If you have your Bible app, cool, use that. If not, words are up on the screen. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake because they were up on a mountainside, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they'd rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." I don't know if he really said, "It is I," but that sounds funny, isn't it? "It is I. It's me." I don't know. Verse 21. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. And our scripture tells us it is I, but I think if we look at the Greek, we're going to learn something a little bit. So that's just an aside. Let me get back to reading the scripture. Verse 22. The next day, the crowd that stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do? What must we to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So, as we get rolling, one of the things that we're going to do, spend most of our time on today is the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. As we spent most of our time last week focusing in on the miracle of the 5,000, this week we're dealing with that. But we do have to talk a little bit about what happens after the miracle because of everything that is going on, because these two stories are linked together and there's a connection that needs to be made between them. But one of the things that we're probably not going to get into is the fullness of Jesus and his teaching after the meaning of the feeding of the 5,000. We'll touch on it a little bit, but there's a whole big portion of that that we just can't get to because we'd be here past lunch and then all of our lunch would be spoiled. So that we'll have to do that, save that for another day. This is one of those times where the gospel writer in the Gospel of John is chronological. We've talked about previously how John's gospel is not necessarily chronological. Things kind of get out of order, which is not a big deal unless you are stuck on chronologicalness. And if that's the case, then John's a great letter to, or a gospel to help you work through some of that because his story is thematic. He's telling a story. He has a purpose to what he's doing in this gospel. But for right here, right now, this is a very chronological section of John's gospel. And we can back that up because Matthew and Mark also have these similar stories in there and they are connected together. So let's talk about the bread. Let's talk about the feeding of the 5,000 and the big picture of what's going on after all of that. The importance of the feeding of the 5,000 is that Jesus is telling his disciples based on what is happening after the walking of the water, and he's telling them that you're coming not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill. Jesus is trying to communicate to the people that he's not just interested in their needs, but he's trying to communicate that he is the satisfaction of their souls. He is the bread for their souls. He cares about their physical body. He cares that they would have food to eat when they were in the wilderness and away from the communities and away from their homes. Yeah, have some bread. But Jesus is trying to communicate that he cares greatly for their souls. Eternal life is what mattered. Yeah, he meets a lot of needs. He meets a lot of their physical needs, their healings, and the stuff that's going on in their bodies. And the people saw those things and they wanted more of those things, but what they weren't seeing was the big picture, and the big picture was their deliverance of their eternal lives, their souls, that Jesus was there not to just meet needs, but to care for their ultimate destiny, and that is their eternity and their eternal life. And Jesus is that bread of life. And if you were to keep on reading, and if we were to keep on reading past where we just finished, we would see that this would be the statement that Jesus makes, and he says, I am the bread of life. Now, years ago, probably about 8 or so, I preached an entire sermon series on the I am statements found in John. And this is one of those I am statements. I am the bread of life, meaning that Jesus, if we feed on him, we will have eternal life, that he will satisfy our souls. That's what Jesus was all about. Now, let's go ahead and jump into Jesus and walking on the water. Now, interestingly enough, the gospel writer does a few things in this section of scripture, beginning in verse 16. But basically, he does follow in line with the other gospel writers, where he mentions the storm, he mentions the wind and the rough water, and he mentions that the disciples are terrified. They fear for what's going on, whether that's a combination of the waves and the water and the storm, or it's the fear of someone walking on the water. Let's put ourselves in their sandals for just a moment. If you were on the water in a boat in antiquity and you saw something like that, how would you respond? Running around. I don't know. I'm not sure. Not a whole lot of room to run around on those little boats, but maybe that might be your response. I don't know. But the idea is that they are terrified. And something that is unique in when we compare Mark's version of the story and Matthew's version of the story, John's version doesn't say anything about the storm fading or the waves calming or the squalls going away. The other gospels do, but unlike the other gospels, it doesn't tell us the disciples' questions, because they wondered in Mark's gospel and Matthew's gospel, who can control the wind? John's gospel doesn't give us that, but what John's gospel does confirms the statement that Jesus makes of, it is I. Don't be afraid. This is one of those amazing parts in Scripture where God does something that is out of the ordinary. We call them theophanies. It's a visible manifestation of the invisible God. Theophany. That's a fun word. Hold on to that one, because you can use that at any point in time, and that makes us sound kind of smart, right? Theophany. Truth is that it is a word that means the manifestation of the invisible God. Here's some passages of scripture where a theophany happens, and we read it and we're like, okay, God did something right there, and we just kind of move right along. In Genesis chapter 15, the promise of the inheritance of Abraham and the covenant that was established. Abraham is told by God, you're going to be the father of many nations, and to prove that, you need to get some animals. We're going to sacrifice those animals. And so Abraham does, lays them out, and then God causes him to go into a sleep. And in that sleep, that dream state, God walks through that carcass, many carcasses, with and a flaming pot. That is a theophany. That is a visible manifestation of the invisible God working and walking through something. In Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush, that is a theophany. That is the visible manifestation of an invisible God, where God does something and speaks to Abraham and, to Moses, and leads him in. Leads him to the place where he would actually go to Pharaoh and say, God says, let my people go. And then in Exodus 33, there's a moment where Moses is like just trying to lead this people of Israel, and things are not going necessarily well. And he says, just show me who you are. And so God says, I'm going to pass by, but I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock, and I'm going to cover your eyes so that when I walk by, my hand will go away and you can see my back, because no one can see my face and live. That is a theophany of God, the visible manifestation of an invisible God. How amazing is that? And then, just if you need one more, let's have one more. First Kings, where Elijah is standing on the mountainside and he is distraught. He's running for his life, and God tells him, what are you doing here? And he tells him the whole story. I have been zealous for you, and I'm the only one left. And God says, no, I've got lots more. But you go out on the mountainside. And that's when we hear those rushing wind. And the mountains crack. The earth quakes. The fire burns. And there is a still, small voice. Theophany. And this moment where Jesus is walking on the waves to the disciples is a visible manifestation of the invisible God. I hope you're getting the point that this matters and this is important and this is big, because this is one of those moments in the disciples' lives where they see something that is beyond their understanding, because no one can walk on water. This isn't one of those moments where there's a sandbar and Jesus just so happened to know where the sandbar is, and so he starts walking out to them. That's not this. This isn't one of those moments where they're near the shore and Jesus is kind of just tiptoeing through the surf and getting to their boat. It's not that. This is God showing his authority, Jesus's power, his authority, walking on the water. The water became, I don't even know what the water did. We probably will never know until we get to heaven and know if the water became hard and Jesus walked on it, or Jesus is just awesome and walks on it because he can. Either way, Jesus is walking on the water and he is showing the disciples part of who he is as God. R.C. Sproul writes this. He says, That was what happened on the Sea of Galilee. The glory of God bursting through the shroud of the humanity of Jesus, manifesting itself to the disciples. In the middle of their distress, they saw the glory of God passing by, shining out the Son of God. I really liked how he put that. Really liked it. Manifest itself to the disciples. The middle of their distress, they saw the glory of God passing by. Now, something about the language that Jesus used when he says, "It is I, don't be afraid." I'm going to geek out for just a moment about Greek words. I'm not a Greek scholar by any sort of the means, but what I understand is that there are two uses of Greek that can be utilized to say I am. One of them is a clear representation of I am, and it is pronounced ego. And then there's the use of imai, which is the form of the verb to be, which also means I am. And the gospel writer, not just in this moment, but in every moment when he uses and says, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You name it, there's seven of them. And when he uses it in this sense, he is saying, I am that I am. Ego imai. And really what that is doing, it is hearkening us back to Genesis, or to Exodus, when Moses meets God in the burning bush and we are introduced to the very first time to God's name, Yahweh, and that is I am that I am. And Jesus is using this phrase as he greets the disciples as he's walking on the water. He is reminding them, I am that I am. Don't be afraid. I am that I am. Don't be afraid. This isn't just a display of power. This isn't just a display of authority. This isn't just a display of miraculous work that Jesus is performing. This is the living God showing himself to the disciples. This is God. This is the triune God revealing his nature to a ragtag bunch of disciples that are trying to figure out who he is. Of all the people that we are following, this guy, and he says, I am that I am. This isn't a throwaway line for these guys. They understand exactly what this means, that this is God. This is Yahweh. So Jesus walking on the water seems to be a miracle for the disciples. There's no one else around. And when we think about it, how many other times do we have miracles throughout Scripture that were just for the disciples? But also this miracle is for us as well. And it points to the underlying meaning of the feeding of the 5,000, in the idea that in the feeding miracle, Jesus met not only their physical needs, but he was also meeting their eternal needs, because Jesus will be, always be enough. And in the situation that these disciples are in, they have been serving the people that they've been encountering, and they have probably been worn out, tired, and distraught. They've given their all to others. They have given everything that they have and served one another in great ways. But Jesus, when he performs the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, reminds them that he is enough. And then some. And then when Jesus is walking on the water to them, when they are in the dark, facing a storm, distraught and tired, Jesus is enough. And then some. Yet this time, it's not just bread. It's not even the best leftovers. We don't know what happened to those 12 basketful of leftovers. But what we do know is that this miracle of Jesus walking on the water is about the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus with the disciples. When you're in the mess, when you're in the moment of difficulty, when you're in the overload state of life, when you're in the place where you are just tired beyond tired, when you're overwhelmed with the pace of life and the circumstances of life, wherever you find yourself and wherever these disciples find themselves, the presence of Jesus is a great miracle. Jesus will be present with you, even traversing the waters of a storm, to be with you. I appreciated how another writer puts it, writing from the perspective of Jesus, talking about the miracles. And he says this: the point is, I don't just give you bread. I am your bread. I don't just make the wind stop. I get into the boat. Jesus, in this miracle, he meets the disciples exactly where they're at. Where do you find yourself at today? Do you find yourself in a mess? Do you find yourself in an overloaded, exhausted, tired place? Do you find yourself just overworked? Do you find yourself crying out to God, saying, I don't know what to do next? You feel like you're being tossed from one wave to the next. The wind won't stop howling and you just are overwhelmed. Would you be willing to just trust yourself to his presence? Would you be willing to just say, you know what? God, I release all that I've been attempting to do in fighting back against the wind? And will you just let Jesus walk to you on the waters? I'm going to give you a few moments of just silent reflection. I'm going to ask Sherry to come and play some music for us in the background. I want you to just find where you're at and find what your greatest concern is, and ask that you would be willing to just let Jesus's presence overwhelm you today. Maybe you find yourself in not a very difficult situation, but you just know that God's not leaving you alone. Offer that situation to God. Maybe you find yourself questioning whether or not Jesus is enough, and you need to approach him with hands open wide, saying, God, this is my situation. I want to trust you that you are enough. Show me that you are enough. Maybe others are dealing with real life hard situations, and you are finding yourself wavering in your trust, and you need to cry out. Take some time. Pray. And I'll close this in prayer in just a little bit, but have a moment. Have some time with the Lord. And if you want to come and kneel on the stairs here, you certainly can, as a sign of obedience and trust. But as the disciples cried out, won't you cry out? John's gospel tells us that a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. I am that I am. Don't be afraid." And they took him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore. Father, this morning we hear this story and we hear about the various things that are going on, and we realize the bigness of what is happening in this two-part story of the feeding of the 5,000 and your son walking on the water. And we think about the miracle of the bread and the fish, and realize that your son and you are enough. But you're not just about fixing our physical needs, but you're about taking care of our spiritual needs as well. And so, God, speak to us about that. And speak to us about your presence, that you just don't make the winds and the struggles and the difficulties stop, but you get into the boat with us. and because of your authority, because of your power, and because of who you are as creator and sustainer of this life, the winds obey. You don't even have to say a word. They obey. They know who you are. And the truth of the matter is, when we face those exact same waves, when we face those exact same winds, Lord, they have no authority compared to you. When we face difficulty, you, God, overcome those things. When we face trials and pain and hurt, they have no authority compared to you. Does it hurt for a little bit? Yes. But are you greater? Yes. And so, God, we offer to you the things that we have going on and say, God, you are enough. Help us to trust that you are enough. And Lord, when we realize that you want to bless us for your kingdom purposes, you give more than we can ask or imagine. And we realize that your presence with us is a great gift. Reveal in us and reveal to us your power, your authority, and help us to see your face. God, will you work in great ways today? Speak to our hearts, reveal to us things that we might need to change, things that we might need to adjust, and show us your ways and your truth. We pray this in your Son's name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Today, will you trust that Jesus is enough? Will you trust that he gives you more than you can ask or imagine? And will you trust that he wants his presence to go with you? And that he wants to reveal to you his power, his authority. We're going to continue to worship, and my heart cry is that we will experience his grace and mercy, not just today, but every day. Let's stand and we'll close our time together with singing.